Christ or the church. And so we have many approaches. There's another basic and essential plan to these principles that's found in 2 Thessalonians 2, which we've discussed before, but I'd like to go over some of these again, maybe a review, and see some deeper understanding, if the Lord will bless us. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So they did not believe the truth, and they did have pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, in order to be saved then, in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So in order to be saved, whoever we're dealing with, including ourselves, we must love this truth. And verse 12, these people did not believe the truth. Verse 10, they did not love the truth. So in our conversion, we need to present the gospel in such a way that they will not only believe the truth, but they would love God's truth. So what truth is this the Lord refers to that results in being captured by the devil's lie? He says, then for this cause, in verse 11, God shall send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So what is the truth then that causes God to send this strong delusion which men reject? In the New Testament, we find several different references to what is truth. And please don't look all these up. I plan to refer to them. And just note that truth in the New Testament has a specific meaning. The law was given by Moses in John 1:17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that indicates there's no truth in the law of Moses. But in Psalms 100, verse 5, he says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So there was truth under the Old Testament time. In Psalms 15, 1 and 2, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness, and notice, speaks the truth in his heart. So there was truth in the Old Testament. Then which truth came by Jesus Christ that did not come by Moses? John 16, verse 13, again, the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. All right, that tells us then that there is a specific body of truth that is incorporated or included in all truth. And this is something the Holy Spirit would guide them into, which says that they didn't have it before this time. So what is this specific body of truth that he refers to? He refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth in John 14:17 and John 15:26. And the reason he refers to him as the Spirit of Truth, or one reason would be in verse 14, that the Lord is going to, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. So he is the Spirit that brought the truth to the apostles. And in verse 14, he would receive of mine and give it unto you, show it unto you, and Jesus then would get this truth from the Father. So whatever truth this is, it's a body of truth that came from the Father through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, to the apostles, who, of course, wrote that truth in the Scriptures. So in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the word of God. And specifically then in John 18:37, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. This indicates that this is a truth that had not been revealed before. So in 1 Peter 1:22, they obeyed the truth and thus purified their souls. And we know what that truth is. Galatians 3:1, the Galatians were no longer walking in the truth. They were not obeying the truth, but they had already obeyed the first principles. So this truth then must have included the rest of the New Testament. Galatians 5:7, again, he says, they had not obeyed the truth, or were not obeying the truth, which tells you then that this indicating strongly the rest of the New Testament. So in Galatians 2:5, we'll read that. Galatians 2, verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So this truth of the gospel is the rest of the New Testament after we get the first principles. Again, he says the same thing in Galatians 2:14. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Well, Peter was showing respect to persons, which we find in the book of James is wrong, and several other scriptures. The showing partiality is wrong, and so that then is part of the truth of the gospel. So in 1 John 2:26-27, let's read that. 1 John 2:26-27. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went about doing good works, which of course was the miracle, were the miracles, and the same anointing in this verse teaches them all things, which is obviously these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the teaching that it gives through these gifts of the Holy Spirit were all things and is truth, which tells us then truth in this case refers to the New Testament. And so 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he's given us all things that pertain to life of godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. That knowledge, of course, in the scriptures, and all things that pertain unto life and godliness would be part of all truth. So the gospel then, the New Testament, would be referred to as the truth that Jesus brought besides his favor. Right, in Romans 1:18, we find a different truth, and we'll find that this is the same truth he refers to in 2 Thessalonians that we read at the beginning. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All right, this truth we've seen in lessons before refers to the truth that may be known of God. So here, God is angry when men hold the truth and they don't hold it in righteousness. So Romans 1:22-23, because they do not acknowledge this truth and hold it in unrighteousness, they profess themselves to be wise, that they became fools. How? Why? Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So God's response to this then, as we've seen before in Romans 1:24, God gives them up. So he gives them up to uncleanness. And that uncleanness, of course, would be incorporated in sin. Through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then he describes this dishonoring in verses 26 and 27. Then verse 25, did men intentionally change the truth of God into a lie? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, men change the truth of God into a lie because they reject this truth concerning God, that he has eternal power and Godhead. He's the creator. He's the owner. They reject that and turn to their own way. So because they reject that in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this cause God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So here in Romans 1:25, they change the truth of God into a lie, not themselves, but because they rejected the truth about God, his eternal power and Godhead, and did not glorify God as God and were not thankful. Then the second thing they did, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And this more than is in the sense of rather than, and that's the same word that refers to both. And the first word worship there is not the proskuneo, which is the ordinary word for worship, but rather they revered. It comes to the word eusebos, godliness. So they revered and they served. And that's the menial service, the creation. And that creation generally refers to men. Well, they served men rather than God. So God then sends them a strong delusion and they believe a lie. So this is the condition that we find men in as we seek to convert them. Now, it is true that God is fully in control of the condition of all men. So when God sends a strong delusion, there's not much that they can do about it. God sends it and it's theirs and they can't change that. God is the one that has to change it. And of course, this strong delusion is believing a lie, which is blindness on their part. God blinds them from the truth and does not reveal it to them. He reveals it to the babes, which are humble people. So Romans 1 then, 19 through 21, let's turn there. And we're finding men have gone through a process because what may be known of God in verse 19 is manifest to them because God has showed it to them. And he showed them the invisible things of him, his eternal power and Godhead. So all men see this at one point or another. And when they don't love this truth or they don't like to retain this truth in their knowledge, God then gives them up to sin, which is giving them up to Satan. So men have no excuse there in verse 20 because God shows his eternal power and Godhead to everybody. And verse 21, it's seen in the creation, the things God has made. So from the day that Adam and Eve were created, everybody that saw the stars in the universe and the world knew that there was a creator who has eternal power. So he's also in control. In the beginning, God created, so God is the creator. So there's your Godhead, the creator, the owner. So in verse 21, he has a purpose for his creation. The Almighty God that has enough wisdom to create this universe and create men, and we're seeing now more and more as science develops how marvelous this creation is, including men's creation. And they're still not able to look into life and the mind, eternal life and so on. But even what they can see, they know that God is marvelously wise. So why would a marvelously wise God create a world for men to play in? And it doesn't make any sense. But it does make in sense that God does create men for an eternal purpose. So in verse 21, because that they knew God, God showed his invisible things to them, they glorified him not as God. There's your problem. And second problem, they weren't thankful. So what does it mean then to glorify God as God? Well, God is creator. He's owner. And to glorify him as God would be to find the purpose that God has created men for and fulfill that purpose. If we disobey God, we're not glorifying him. If we chase some other purpose than God's purpose, we're not glorifying God. And we need to be thankful for the position that God has created us in. He creates us with a plan that he'll form the heart of Christ in us. And when men are not thankful and don't cooperate with God, then God gives them up. So when God gives them up, in verse 24, God gives them up to uncleanness. So then they are blinded into thinking this uncleanness is good. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And then he tells about this evil that has come to the fro in our time, which was very fervent in Sodom and Gomorrah. So God gave them up to these vile affections, which tells you then that God's not very pleased with these men here that are going in this pattern. But from my understanding, most men do not appreciate this pattern at all. Most men, especially in America, are turned off and hate this new pattern that's coming, being forced on us. In Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Right, this is the problem right here with most men. When they understand that they're going to have to live for God and God's purpose, they're not willing to give up what they've already learned to love. And to be fair with men, when do they understand that God is God and that he has eternal power and Godhead? They don't understand it at 1 year or two, not three. By the time they're teenagers, they do understand this. And so sometime in that time period, God reveals himself, and then these teenagers then have to make up their decision as to whether they love this position God has created them in, or whether they don't like to retain that knowledge in their hearts. But if they don't like to retain God in their hearts, which is the problem with most people, then God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. All right, so then he describes all these reprobate things that they do. Reprobate is to disobey or to be self-willed. So all these 23 sins men involve themselves in, not everybody with all of them, but all of them with some of them. And so this translates then to giving them over to Satan. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, let's turn there. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For we know that God is in us through the Holy Spirit, and he's greater than the one that is in the world. So who is in the world? This has to be Satan. So God gives all these men up to Satan. And we need to understand what that means. And let's take an example here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3 to 5. Let's turn there, 1 Corinthians 5, 3 to 5. For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, I think we all understand this. We may not fully understand what it means to deliver such a one to Satan, but nevertheless, that's his description. So giving one over to Satan is to give Satan control over that person. Before that situation can change now, is being delivered to Satan, what does the man have to do to have that deliverance taken away? God has delivered him through the church to Satan because of his fornication. We all understand that in order for him to be brought back and taken away from Satan, he's got to stop his fornication. So in the same way, as we read Romans 1, when God delivers men to Satan because he does not glorify him as God, then what must change in order for that man to be rescued from Satan? That man has to be taught and convinced and persuaded and loved to glorify God as God and be thankful for the position God has created him in to fulfill God's purpose for the creation. So does it profit us to teach men about the church and about the Old Testament and about all these different things until we teach him about this acknowledging God as God and loving the truth that God is God and he is the owner? So 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26, we've read that many times, but let's apply it here. 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. God gives men up to Satan, and then we then should teach him in the spirit of meekness, looking to ourselves, of course, lest we also be tempted. But nevertheless, in verse 25, he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So there's our job. These men are opposing themselves. Why? Because they're not glorifying God as God, and they're fighting themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, the new mind, to the acknowledging of the truth. So this truth they must acknowledge is that God is God. He has eternal power. He is the creator. He's the owner. So once a man acknowledges that God is the owner, then he can recover himself out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So they're captured by Satan. There's no question. And verse 26 is very clear. So to get out, they have to recover themselves. Well, they've been taught to believe a lie. Satan is the father of all lies. They're believing a lie, and the best way to recover from a lie is the truth. So they acknowledge this truth that God is God and they need to glorify God as God. They can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They'll no longer be taken, be captive to him at his will. So when we're teaching men concerning this truth, we need to acknowledge that this man must glorify God as God and be thankful for his position. So what's our job then? How can we encourage a man to be thankful for his position? So as we go through some of these now, our work then in converting souls is to remind him that he is created being and that he did not create himself. And that's not very hard to convince somebody. We need to remind him that the Creator created this earth and everything in it. And he created it for a purpose. And man needs to accomplish the reason for God making the world. Then we need to remind him that the Creator is owner and thus has all authority. And if he doesn't acknowledge that the Creator has the authority, he's not going to listen to the Creator. But once he understands that the Creator has all authority as an owner, which principle everybody knows, we need to, and to remind him that he should willingly submit to the Creator's rules and not be forced to do it. If he's forced to create to the owner's will, then the Father's not going to give him understanding because he doesn't love the truth. So the way that we present these things to him, this unbeliever, must be in a way, such a way that he will love this truth and love being in the position that God has created him in. Now, that's not an easy job, and we'll have to search the scriptures to be able to do it, but by the time we're finished, if he doesn't love the truth, he'll not be converted in truth to God. Then we need to remind him that God has created him in his own image, and he no doubt knows this from Genesis. God has showed this truth to everybody. But if he doesn't know it, we need to teach him. And we're made in God's image and after his likeness. So once he understands then that God has made us above the animals in Genesis 9, verse 6, we can kill an animal, we can't kill a man because he's in the image of God. Once he sees that this image is a divine image, then in the next part, we need to teach him the Creator's purpose. To fill the divine image in which he created all men with the same love that God has in his divine image. So we need to convince him there's a difference between the world's love and God's love, and that this love is found in the New Testament, and that God's nature is love. God is love. So then once he understands then that Creator is love and that he needs to have the Creator's love in him, then he'll want to be filled with the divine image. So that's the position then that every man needs to be in if he's truly going to be converted to God's purpose. So we need to teach him then again that the Creator has sent Jesus in man's form so we can see the divine nature in the face of Christ. So God sent Jesus in man's form. He needs to be convinced of that, to be like his brethren in everything. Therefore, he's like us, and we can see that God's nature can be in man because he was in Christ. And then we need to show him that God's nature was in Paul because he followed in the steps of Christ, and he grew in Christ's love and God's love also. So this divine nature then needs to be in us, and God gives all these different promises so that we can be partakers in that divine nature. So we need to show him these divine promises that God makes, which makes it possible. And then we need to convince him that with all God, all things are possible, even though we can't do it. And we need to teach him that the Father created all things through Christ. So Christ then is authority, has been given all authority. So we must obey all the commands of Christ, because nobody has any authority that Christ doesn't give them. And then finally, we need to teach him that we must trust the Father to show us the way to form the divine image in our hearts. Well, those are at least some of the things that we need to teach men and persuade them to love that truth so that they can be saved. So God reveals his truth and the invisible things, and that's where it all starts. So I hope we'll consider some of these teachings, that the thing that turns a man away from God is that he hears the truth of God when God shows it to him, but he doesn't love it, and so he turns to his own things. And we must teach him to love the reason why God has created man in his own image. So we'll have the closing song.
Psalm number 516.